Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate, joined tonight by Tom Keegan, sports editor here at the Journal World, and we're going to talk about the news of Darian Miller returning to KU to play running back, as if they don't have enough running backs. What great news. Tom, let's start this thing off with something very simple, an exercise that we'll just throw out there. I want you to remember a Darian Miller run, the most memorable Darian Miller run from that 2011 season. You and I talked a lot during that season in the press box. This guy's amazing. Look at, you know, there were a lot of highlight runs, a lot of big ones. Is there one that pops out to you that you remember?
I'll tell you what, I'll go with the one against Oklahoma because it had the thing that he was kind of, when I think of Darian Miller, I think of bullets off Superman's chest.
Nice.
He's running up the middle, and he was so quick. He burst up the middle. There's a guy from Oklahoma off his left shoulder, and he somehow gets that guy to lose his balance by delivering that first hit, which great running backs are always.
Sure.
They hit before they're hit. So he gets that guy off stride, but he runs right into a Oklahoma player's running right at him, has him dead to rights. Just going to tackle him, except that he bounces off the Oklahoma guy.
Yeah.
And then just takes a step to his left and keeps going, and he was slowed down enough by that a third guy's able to come into the picture and tackle him. But there were two guys who should have tackled him, and he just kept going. And he could carry piles. Right. He had a little bit of everything to him, really quick and really kept running with it, kept his legs moving.
No doubt. That's the one thing sort of that I remember, too, the violent collisions. You know, like you watch him bang into another guy, and you'd think if that happened anywhere else but a football field, those two would both end up in the hospital.
Right.
Instead, one of them falls on his back, and the other keeps going. And that's my run that I remember that jumps out more than any. Not the Oklahoma one, but a similar thing at Georgia Tech. It was maybe down inside the red zone, 10 yards or so. Same thing. I mean, he took the ball, hand off to the left side, slammed right into some guy pretty much at the line of scrimmage, maybe a linebacker, that'd be what I would guess. Same thing, bounced right off the guy. And then the most impressive part that kind of speaks to the second part of what you were talking about there, another guy comes up and he spins off of him. I mean,
yeah,
and
he had like a spin move in basketball too. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. So, we're not doing this to overhype the guy. I mean, a lot of times when KU signs somebody new, we'll come in here and we'll talk about what we've heard, what we've read, what other analysts have said about this player. But this is a guy that we've seen and the fans have seen.
Right.
So I don't think that this is us overhyping this. I think this guy's a legitimate talent. He's shown that. We've all seen it with our own eyes. And I think this is as big a news as there is for this offseason. Maybe not going to help tremendously right away, but for the future of this program, for the future of that position, this is as big a news as you can get right now.
This is huge. To go with Wrench, who is has one more year of high school, so he'll be 2 years behind Darian Miller if Wrench doesn't redshirt at all.
Right.
I mean, that is huge, and I think it speaks in part to Reggie Mitchell is a great recruiter, and I think Charlie was brilliant for relieving him of his recruiting coordinator duties because a lot of that is organizational stuff and just checking with other that burns time that
office
Reggie could have been spending developing relationships with student athletes, and that's what he's so great at. And it's no coincidence that the deepest position on this team is running back because, yeah, you can develop a bond with, say, a defensive player who Reggie's recruiting, and that defensive player will be like, wow, I wanna go where this guy is. I like what he's telling me. But it's at an entirely different level when it's the same position that he's going to be.
You're
coaching
with him every day.
Yeah. Ooh, this is going to be my position coach?
Every minute. I mean, you're in film room with him. You're on the field with him. You're in the line. I mean, everything. You're right.
As long as Reggie's here, they're going to have deep running back.
Well, it lines up that way for the next several years. One thing that bringing Miller back into the fold does, not only gives him another talented and you know, proven commodity in the backfield that adds to the depth of this position, but it also gives options. I mean, you're looking at a team that can do a bunch of different things with a bunch of different players, and one of those things does include redshirting. It's not going to be James Sims. We know that much. It's not going to be Tony Pearson because they're both way too much a part of this offense. But it could be a guy like Taylor Cox. He's you know, set up to be a senior this year, but he has some talent, and what he delivered last year was key, but it almost was a bummer that it was a waste of a year, because the guy could play at a lot of places, and that includes Kansas. So what are your thoughts on a guy like Taylor Cox potentially redshirting? Obviously, they haven't said anything at all about right. this yet, and won't for a while probably. But
if he's open to that, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, why not get that much farther along on your academic path if you can get a school to pay you 3 years
right.
instead of 2 years?
Right.
Maybe he could be on his way to a graduate degree, which would be a great thing. And, you know, I think that he's kind of fortunate if he has the ability to play beyond a college that he's not getting a ton of carries.
Right.
Because his body will hold
up. Great point.
You have only so many hits in that body. But I would think he would be the logical choice, too, because then you'd have Darian Miller and Taylor Cox as your shifty-type backs.
Right.
Sims would be gone. Now you have Darian Miller, Sims, both. And, you know, dealing, and Cox is looking at that.
Taking some carries in the season. Yeah, right.
And if
you would still have Pearson, too.
Right, you'd have Pearson and let, you know, you're not going to have both of those guys injured at the same time. It's not likely. But
right.
even if you do, Brandon Burb.
There you go. And then, and that's another guy who already has used his red shirt.
Right, so
for
he
an
can't
injury. So, right, he can't. So, as much as they have options with who they can play and when they can play them and how they can play them, they don't really have many options if they want to go the redshirt route. It pretty much has to be Cox, or maybe it could be Colin Spencer.
Although Colin Spencer, I group as more of a Tony Pearson.
Exactly.
Type.
Yeah.
So I don't group him with the others. I mean, he's a hybrid, a speedy running back, and line up in the slot some too.
Well, and there may be a role for him this year. You know, especially since he was able to get here at semester. He's already gone
right.
through spring
and
ball.
Tony Pearson gets beaten up for a game or two, you know, where you need a break or
perfect.
You just want to break him in a game, you know, that he knows all the plays. Colin Spencer knows all the Tony
sure.
Pearson plays.
Sure.
You plug him in.
Sure.
So they've got depth at every type of running back.
Absolutely. And it goes beyond that with what you were talking about with Trayvon Wrench. You know, now you've got an opportunity where, let's say Miller comes back and can play like he used to. Let's say Bourbon's ready to go and Spencer and Pearson will be back next year too. You have the opportunity to redshirt Trayvon Wrench then his first year. If
and again, get a school to pay 5 years
you go.
For your academics.
The guy gets bigger, stronger under Holsapple. He learns the offense, and then when he comes back, when a couple of those other guys are gone, he's ready to slide in. I mean, I just...
And he leaves here well on his way to a graduate degree.
There you go. Yeah, I just don't think this can be overstated. I mean, I think this is such great news for this program and this offense. And
for this university, because here are two guys, Dexter McDonald and Darian Miller, who the story wouldn't have been easier to tell. It would have been no embarrassment to it if they just went from JUCO to some other D1 program.
Sure.
As prestigious as Kansas, or even more so.
Sure.
Which they could have. Yet, they tasted Kansas. They know what a special town this is, what a special experience it is, and the hidden hero of the whole athletic department, Paul Buskirk, that the sincere, genuine, uncompromising
yeah.
head of student support, academic support, they know the deal. And it's a good deal. And that's a beautiful atmosphere at the stadium. Yeah, it needs revenue upgrades to so it's a better revenue-generating stadium. But the sight of that on the hill
right.
and the game day atmosphere, when they're winning, we've seen when they're winning what this game day atmosphere is like. It's awesome.
Yeah, there's no question. And both of those guys, I mean, I know Dexter McDonald's talked about that. You know, he loved it here his first time. And obviously Darian Miller did too, or he wouldn't have come back.
Right.
And I think it's really impressive all the way around. I mean, it's impressive. It tells you a lot about Charlie Weiss. Hey, this is the same coach that kicked this guy off the team. He's willing to take him back now. Two things. You got to believe, number one, he thinks he can help, and number two, he thinks he's taking care of the issues that got him dismissed in the
sure.
first place. If Charlie's proven anything, it's that he doesn't take discipline in those things lightly.
Or he wouldn't have run Darian Miller, one of the most talented players on the team
exactly.
to begin with.
Exactly.
I remember asking him about that.
For sure. And his quote was, I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're all starters. There's a right and a wrong way to do things, and that's how we're going to do it. So
right.
It sounds like it could be a really cool reunion. I mean, you know, these guys could really help each other. And in turn, help KU football keep climbing and maybe get back to some respectability. That was Darian Miller's last words in the press release with the quotes they sent that he provided them. That's my only goal now, is to help Coach Weiss get KU back to respectability. And, you know, he'll have an opportunity. I think it'll be really exciting. Just the last thing we can talk about with Miller, I think, is again, options, you know? Well, this is a guy who also caught the ball. I mean, he's not just a running back that you have to hand off to. Or he's good out of the backfield. He can line up as a receiver if you need to. So give that another weapon to Charlie Weiss and his offensive mind, and to Jake Heaps, who has shown both at BYU and in the limited time we've seen him, that he can get rid of the ball quickly and he can find the right spots. He can get it to the right guys. I just think this offense has crazy potential this season.
It does, and the thing you don't know is how the blocking is going to be.
Right.
You have more than 100 starts that are gone among Marangelli, Zlatnik, and Hawkinson, and that's going to be hard to replace. But it's also true that a good, decisive quarterback and a good, decisive running back can make an offensive lineman look better.
For sure.
And there's no question about that. Todd Reesing made his offensive lineman look better by extending plays and scrambling. And I'm not saying Heaps has that ability. He's certainly more mobile than Chris, but he's no Todd Reesing. But just in other ways, by being decisive.
Well, Brandon
McKinnon, hesitation.
Same way, right?
Right.
I mean, he didn't dance around, hit the hole and go.
Yep. And these guys, Sims is a decisive runner, and Darian Miller's a decisive runner. And so, yeah, that's still a concern, and you've got to see what's going to play out there and who's going to really take steps forward in summer camp. And, you know, and really that's the lone concern on the offense, because, my gosh, if Harwell is eligible this year, and we still need to see if he's eligible immediately.
Right.
But if you have Harwell, Justin McKay, Tony Pearson as your three wide receivers, and when Mundine's in the game, those four pass catchers, and then you throw whoever else is at running back, be it Sims, Cox, or Miller.
Well, you could put two of them out there. I mean,
they can catch passes too.
There's a lot of guys that defenses will have to account for, and it doesn't guarantee that they'll be successful, but it sure gives them a lot better chance than they've had in a few years.
Yeah, the opposing defensive coordinator's job is not going to be as easy.
They're going to finally feel what it was like to be Dave Campo these last year, right? all the late nights and all the scratching your head. How can we stop all these guys? Well, KU may actually have an answer to that on their offense now that other defenses will have to figure out. So Darian Miller coming back. He's got 3 years. He'll be eligible right away. He's supposed to be here next week, and he'll get started with summer workouts and summer school. And you know, he's obviously getting into things a little late here, but he's here. So that's something to track and something we'll be keeping an eye on all offseason, and certainly when they get to August when camp opens, he'll be one of the many storylines. And we'll keep track of all that stuff for you throughout the summer, so make sure you check back to KUSports.com often, and we'll try to throw in a few more of these podcasts as well. That's all the time we have for this podcast, but thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Take care.